Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I think that I'm going to be doing this a long time. I just want to make good music, you know? It's not going to be teeny, like, it's not going to be, like, old. I just want to make good music. You know, some people, they want to grow up too fast, and they don't want these teen fans, but, you know, at the end of the day, you want everybody to love you.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now. What is up, everybody? I'm Scott Evans.
And I am Zuri Hall.
And thanks for coming back to another episode of The Vault by Access Hollywood. Today is another day.
It is.
Yes. Normally I say another day, another dollar, but in this case, it's maybe another 15 cents. But in the world of this podcast, it is a pop icons celebration. We got Justin Bieber today, y'all.
The Biebs.
Are you a Belieber?
I believe in Bieber. I like his music.
So you
I
believe,
am a fan.
You believe?
I mean, believe... Belieb is a strong identification for my day-to-day lifestyle choices.
Okay.
I feel like I support Beliebers. I love his music. I really do. I wouldn't call myself a stan, but no doubt I love some Justin Bieber music.
So Beliebish.
Yes. I'm Beliebish.
Okay.
Would you categorize yourself as a Belieber?
I'm going to be honest with you. There was a time where I tried to grow my hair to do that thing. You remember that you were back in the day where you used to do that like head thing?
How did that work out for you?
It didn't. It's a totally different hair texture. Yeah, nobody told me.
Tricky, nobody wanted to break it to you.
Nobody.
That was probably big.
It was.
But you got that. Grow it out.
Yeah, like try it.
Biotin. That's it. You good.
Try some biotin. For your hair, your nails. and your skin. No, it didn't work out too well for me. But I will tell you that Justin Bieber is one of those artists that you can play an album from the beginning to the end and you don't skip. You know what I mean? Like, you don't skip. In fact, I mean, he's 27 years old now, right? He's accomplished more than, you know, he's packed in so much album sales and world tours and DVDs and you know, the bowl cut made cool again. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, right. His debut haircut.
Yeah, I tried it. I was like,
you need to start running these little choices by me. I guess you already had them.
You weren't in my life.
Bowl cut?
You weren't in my, life.
No, I know. That was a blessing you needed. Your friends were setting you up.
For Halloween, it was terrible. I had the scarf with the you remember the big scarves?
Oh my God, I remember.
With the purple and the high top Chucks or the high top sneaker.
Yeah, little side swoop bang before that was a thing for the guys. Honestly, the more I think about it, Bieber's always had hits, first of all. So what nobody is going to do is ever play him. Like, he does not consistently produce fire music. I might be a low-key Belieber. Ooh, you know what it is?
Upgrade from Beliebish to Belieber in minutes?
Here's why. In minutes, because I started thinking about all the songs that I've loved over the years.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's never been an album that I was like, that one wasn't for me.
Right.
And when people say like, oh, are you a Swiftie? Are you a Belieber? Are you a part of the Beehive? It all just feels so... intense to me, and I'm a commitment phobe. So it's like, I just don't know if I can.
I don't know if I have the time.
Put that label on. I don't like boxes. I don't know. Like the music, I don't know if I like the box, but in a very casual way, yes, I think it is actually safe to say. I believe.
You believe. Okay. I like how this escalated from believish mm-hmm. to believer in less than 4 minutes.
That's the power of Bieber.
Hey, listen, I mean, it really is. We talk about being able to put an album on and play it from beginning to end. He's one of the first artists, I think the first artist to have 7 songs from a debut record chart on the Billboard Hot 100, right? Wow. Like 7 songs from the first album all hit.
Yeah.
Hit after hit.
And then it's hard to believe that he's only 27. I mean, he looks the part. He looks young, and obviously him and Hailey are beautiful and in the prime of their 20-something year old lives. Mm-hmm. But he's been around for so long working his butt off that it just seems like more time had to pass, but it hasn't. I mean, it was 2020. Bieber became the youngest solo artist just last year, age 25, to have 7 number one albums. You were talking about 7 songs on the first album that charted.
You hear me?
Now he got 7 number one albums. Do you understand how crazy that is?
Do you know the only other artist to do this, or the artist who previously held this record was Elvis Presley?
Wow. Which says a lot, right? Like, I think it's fitting that that would be the case. They're certainly different artists, but Elvis
iconic
Presley
hair.
At
iconic
his time,
hair.
Iconic hair, certainly both stars in their own right at the peak of their celebrity. So it's fitting that Bieber is the one to take the title after Elvis.
So I was watching the Billie Eilish documentary on Apple TV Plus, mm-hmm. and there's a moment where she shares her love, I mean, her sincere love. She talks about at being 12 years old and believing that she was in a relationship with Justin Bieber. And she shows this video and it's her at 12 years old. And she's like, I am nervous that one day I'll grow up and have, and when I have a boyfriend, he just won't compare because I'm really in love with Justin Bieber. And
oh,
I quote, I can't really handle that.
Oh my God. So I have committed to a life of singleness.
Of like just trying to figure out how this Bieber thing will work out. And
right.
She shows this interaction that they had at Coachella during the Ariana Grande performance. And I remember mm-hmm. standing right next to Justin Bieber in that, like maybe moments right before that, and looking over at him, and I was like, man, he's really vibing. And Hailey mm-hmm. comes over with a shot, we'd hug and kiss, and you know, mm-hmm. they do the thing, and then you go mm-hmm. back into the audience. And so then you see this love that he could be, think about, no one else on the planet right now can really mm-hmm. understand what Billie Eilish is going through but Justin Bieber.
So
16 launched into superstardom.
Oh, right, right, right.
You know yep. what I mean? Musically, mm-hmm. to be on covers of magazines and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Mega, mega star. Give me all the Grammys.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a really, really, and he just seemed so much more grown up.
Uh-huh.
You know, he jumped on the remix of Bad Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she said at one point he could literally send back poop. He could literally send back just him saying poop on the track, and I'd love it.
She'd be like, this is great. This is gold. It's visionary. And I understand. I understand the statement he's trying to make with this.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
But there are fans of Justin Bieber that feel that way. Like, we are in a relationship.
Well, because I do. So that I actually do relate to, right? But I remember being really young and fangirl culture. People joke about, oh my God, fandom. It's so intense. It's mm-hmm. so intense. But when you are 12 and 13 and going through puberty and you're like, oh my God, why am I feeling this way? Oh my God, he blinked. And like, what was that tingle?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are obsessed. These new little feelings feel so good. And you see these cute boys and girls on these magazine covers who look like hotter versions of the punk ass kids that you're going to school with. And you just spiral. Like you were saying, he's had so many awards. I mean, he's won a Grammy, 18 American Music Awards, 20 Billboard Music Awards, 2 Brit Awards, a Latin Grammy, and a record 21 MTV Europe Music Awards and 4 MTV Video Music Awards.
He only had 2 videos.
Well, four words for two different videos. Don't make no sense. So obviously we're going to throw it back to one of his earlier videos. What's really fascinating about Justin to me is he was one of the very first celebrities who rose to fame via the internet.
Yes.
Right? Remember, like, YouTube was just becoming a thing. People were still trying to wrap their minds around it. Yep. Meanwhile, young kids were getting famous off of it. These days, we see it all the time. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube stars.
Yep.
But back in the late 2000s, this was a new thing. And in 2007, at just 12 years old, Bieber was discovered by Scooter Braun, his longtime manager, when Scooter came across a YouTube video of Bieber singing at a local competition in Stratford, Canada, which he came in second place at. Access sat down with Bieber for the first time back in 2009, where Justin explained how he got discovered. And fun fact, he was just 15 years old when this interview took place. Wow. Listen to this.
What happened was I was in a singing competition, and some of my friends and family couldn't make the singing competition. So I put YouTube videos of the competition on YouTube just for them to see. And I guess it blew up. I got 1,000 views and 100,000 views and 1,000,000 views. Then, like, 100 million or then no I'm at 58 million views now.
Can you even grasp that number? I don't know if I can.
58 million. Yeah. It's a lot.
I mean, is it wild to think that many people are listening to these songs?
Yeah,
doing?
Yeah, it's crazy. I would never have thought that would happen.
And you can play. I was watching you play the guitar, and I know you play other instruments. When did that start, the love for music, going back before all the internet stuff?
Music started at a very young age. I was about 2 years old, started playing the drums. And started drums, piano, then guitar. And so I was always introduced to music, but didn't start singing till I was roughly like 9. And then, I don't know, I didn't really take it seriously. I would just sing around the house. And then it wasn't until I was 12 till I sang publicly.
Talk about meeting Usher and that first experience and where that's brought you now.
So what happened was I was flown out to Atlanta by a manager, his name's Scooter Braun, flown out to Atlanta just to meet with him and meet different producers and different people. I was actually going to meet Jermaine Dupri at his studio, and who rolls up? Usher and his Range Rover. Yeah, rolls up, and I was like, is that who I think it is? And Scooter was like, yeah. And so I ran up to him. I was like, Usher, I love your songs. You want me to sing you one? And he was like, let's just go inside, little buddy. It's cold out. So the politest possible way he could say no, he did. And I was like, wow, he just turned me down. And I was a little disappointed. He had to go into a studio session, so I was like, whatever. And a week later, he actually watched my videos with my manager. And was like, oh my gosh, why didn't I let him sing? So flew me back to Atlanta where I got to meet him again. And he wanted to sign me. But there was something else.
Justin Timberlake, right?
Yes, Justin Timberlake also wanted to sign me. It was like kind of like, what happened was Justin Timberlake and Usher both went into a ring and boxed it out. And the outcome was Usher. I think it was a TKO.
Pretty funny, man. But not too often does Justin Timberlake get said no to, so Usher gave you a good offer and you had the, you know.
Yeah, well, it was basically, it was all down to having Island Def Jam back me up as well as L.A. Reid. So it was just an amazing opportunity, so I went with it.
So what I cannot let pass is this story. First of all, his little voice is the cutest.
Little baby Bieber.
Also, but he was all of 15 and he just still had that sweet little voice. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, so I was saying, you know, and
they had to fight each other. And it was TKO.
It's a TKO.
I'm making little jokes and stuff. Right. Okay, Bieber, cracking jokes. So what is so wild about that? He talks about how Usher, you know, kind of passed on the opportunity to hear him sing initially, just kind of in the hustle and bustle and rush. And then Bieber did sing for him. He ended up going with Usher at Island Def Jam. Fun fact, I was super into music first. It was one of my first loves, singing and songwriting. And I interned in Atlanta at Def Jam Records, Atlanta offices. So like all the big wigs there, I was helping them. I was working for them. I was assisting. I was working the front desk at Def Jam sometimes. And this cute little white boy walks into the lobby one day when I'm sitting at the front desk and I'm ready to go. And mind you, like leave the office. Like I'm
ready
tired.
To go. Not ready to go.
I'm exhausted.
To go.
And it's a label. So you get people coming in all the time, trying to come in all the time to like pitch themselves, substances, whatever. So this kid was supposed to be there. Like he had a meeting or whatever it was, but I had no idea who this kid was. Cute little dude comes in and he's like talking shop. A guy who I later realize is Scooter Braun is in the lobby with him. And Scooter is kind of like talking to a couple people in the lobby. And they say to me and maybe one other person, like, you know, this kid's going to be a star. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sure he will be. Like, not judgmentally or not, just kind of like, okay.
Like, I wish I would get out the lobby so I could
basically, like, I'm trying to go to Zaxby's, get my chicken tenders. So he was like, do you want to hear me sing? The little boy to me. And I am an intern. So I'm still at Ohio State. So I was no more than like 19 or 20. And he was like, do you want to hear me sing? And in my mind, I was like,
No, I don't. I want to get my barbecue.
But yeah, I know. I just want my chicken to my barbecue sauce. But I was like, yeah, of course. And so he sang, and I'll never forget. I don't know what it was, just a little ditty, something like, baby girl, you were my pearl. Da-da-da-da-da. Whatever, it was right. Cute, it was poppy. I was like, oh, okay, he has a cute little voice. 3 months later, I am looking at every television screen ever, every laptop, every whatever, turning on any radio station.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's that cute little white boy with the little bit of soul in the lobby who sang to me, pulled up in a fresh car with Scooter Braun too. I should have known then when I seen the car they hopped out of. Which was just
that
amazing.
That boy's gonna be rich.
He's gonna be real rich. He got rich quick after that. But I love the story because he was, I hesitate to say nobody because I don't really like to say that about anybody. He wasn't known yet, right? It was before the blow up. And so to witness that and see that one day somebody can just be trying to make it, just be like, I'll sing to anybody who'll listen. Mm-hmm. You want to hear me sing, little intern lady who ain't got no power at Def Jam? You want to hear me sing Usher? And to now, it's Bieber, like first name basis. You walk in, nobody has to ask any questions about who you are. It's been awesome to see that trajectory. So I'm happy for little Biebs and what he's become now that he's the big Biebs.
Right. I love that you've been there since the very beginning.
So basically, I'm the seed that watered Justin Bieber's career.
But I'm going to rewind to the beginning of this podcast when I said, are you a believer? It's like you forgot that experience happened. You were like,
I did.
Well, you know, I think considering you were there before, he serenaded you.
He did. I have another story. He wasn't serenading me, but it's another story. I'll see if there's a reasonable time to bring it up. We need to talk more about Justin. I've had a lot of brushes with this man. He's great. He's good stuff. So anyways, that's that.
I love the fact that Justin Timberlake and Usher had to like have words over Justin Bieber, right? Like it was like, nah, son. And Usher was like, Justin Timberlake was probably like, Usher, you already passed. And Usher was like, so? So? What you gonna do?
And
what? Listen, I think this is as good a time as any to go ahead and take a little break.
Let's do it.
Join us on the other side, won't you?
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Okay, here we are back in the vault with our mains. Well, I should really say Zuri Hall's main man.
Right.
Justin
I'm starting
Bieber.
To be like, let me just get my little card carrying member of the Bieber.
You might need to run a club. You might need to run one.
I ain't running no club. Now.
You're gonna have to run it.
We can support a good artist.
I think you're gonna. I mean, he has been this kind of personality, mm-hmm. right, since the very beginning of his career. Mm-hmm. Hit after hit after hit, of course, touring all over the world, sold out tours. I remember when he canceled the tour in the middle of the tour,
mm.
and was like, "Yeah, I gotta
take
switch
some time.
I gotta switch my priorities up.
Yep, yeah.
And I got some growing up to do, and I can't keep." Pretending the tour is going to be the thing that fixes it. I got to fix me. I always really, really respected that choice. I mean, you know, the people always say that with celebrities in particular, child stars, the moment they hit it big is where they kind of stop developmentally, you know, and it takes some real work, some real maturity, some real maybe even therapy to get through some of those blocks
and to evolve beyond the point where you maybe stopped being required to evolve in certain situations because you'd reached a level of fame, notoriety, access to resource that meant, oh, I don't have to continue to think about things in the way that someone else does. And so it is understandable, honestly, when you think about it in that way.
Especially, and like you said, like when you have people who are surrounding you are saying, yeah, whatever you want, whatever you want. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pink flamingo in the living room, no problem. No problem. You want a blue flamingo, that might be a little more difficult.
A little tricky. Let me make a call. Yeah.
But at this point in his career, his sound had also shifted more toward it, right? Like an R&B, almost a hip hop influence as well. And so Justin Bieber joined Access Hollywood for a live sit-down interview to promote his album, Believe. And we asked him about, of course, this new shift in focus, what it meant for his career, and what life would have been like for him if he were never discovered. This one is interesting. Take a listen.
I'm just making like great universal music that everybody can listen to and enjoy. And it's music that's not going to be... It's not going to be faded out in 10 years. It's going to be, you know, that music that has musicality and it has that spark to it that people can listen to forever. So,
do you think if you were never discovered way back on YouTube, if that wasn't out there, what do you think you'd be doing?
I don't know. Right now, I think I'd just be like playing sports in high school, just finishing up and then going to college.
But the music's in you. Like when you see it, it's just who you.
Yeah, music is just, I mean, it's everything that I am and what I represent, music and just. Being free and open and just being who you are.
You think you ever would have tried out for like a Canadian Idol or, you know, Canadian
maybe.
X Factor, I mean,
maybe.
Canadian Voice?
Right there.
I don't know. Maybe. I really, you never know what would have happened, but this is what my destiny is and this is what I want to do for this.
Yeah, what do you make of that though? Is it God's path for you?
I think that, you know, I'm here for a reason and, you know, I'm just trying to figure that reason out. And, you know, I'm in a very blessed position. So I only have to thank, you know, my family and God for helping me get here.
What I really do appreciate about Justin Bieber is the growth that we've seen, right? Mm-hmm. The maturing that we've seen, right? There's a side to Justin Bieber you see in this, and I keep coming back to the Billie Eilish doc because it's the most recent piece of work that he's included in, right? You see him deal with this young lady in such a loving and caring way.
Yeah.
Right? He's not popping off like he used to, and he's talking about he's encouraging her. And he's tapping into what really feels like this kind of higher energy, right? And that he wants her to be well. He wants her to do well and to focus on the things that matter and not the things that don't. And so to hear him say, I want to create music that is universally effective, you know, affecting people and that doesn't just fade out in time. You know, I think he got a couple.
Absolutely he does.
But okay, so it's what's cool about this was a really revealing sit down with mm-hmm. Justin. In that same interview, he opened up about philanthropy, the ways he was giving back and staying connected, not only to his community, but communities around the world, which he doesn't really talk about because he likes to do that kind of stuff, that kind of work in private. Mm-hmm. But he did share a little bit about it. Listen.
You're so good at giving back too. I love you.
Thank you. Yeah, I love it.
But where does that come from? Because when you give back, I feel like it's really from the heart.
Yeah, I mean, people can give back all they want and be on camera and be like, look what I'm doing. Look at, I'm at a children's hospital. Look at the cameras. Like, hey, what's up? Look, I'm here and I'm doing it.
Yeah.
But it's like, for me, like my first like rule is like, you see some footage. Some of it, but like most of it, I'm always like telling them to turn off the camera. So it's like that special moment for the kid, because at the end of the day, like that kid is, you know, sick and they're in the hospital. I'm sure they don't want a camera in their face at that moment. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Sometimes you let the cameras in because it helps the charity.
It helps bring awareness to people. So that's why you have to let people know that this is what's going on and to help the charities.
There's a young fan who is suffering from brain cancer in New York, and it was on Twitter, right here
there.
We go, and you flew, right, the family in or something in
New
York?
Yeah, we flew her to New York, and it was really special. She's such a sweet kid, and she's like, she's been around like adults her whole life, so like nurses and stuff, so she's got such an old soul, and she's like so precious.
What'd she say when she saw you?
Basically, she's like, she thinks I'm her husband, and she thinks we're gonna get married and live happily.
She calls herself Mrs. Bieber?
Yeah, calls herself Mrs. Bieber. She had like a whole pretend wedding with like a cutout version of me. It was really.
That's really cute.
She staged the wedding with the cutout thing?
Yes, and they had flowers and everything going down, and it was funny.
You're a good man.
Again, the thing that I really appreciate about a young person who is committed to giving back, a young person who is committed to acts of philanthropy and community, is that he means it, right? So, of course, there's Pencils of Promise, which Scooter Braun's brother, I believe, is a founder of. So that was kind of a no-brainer, mm-hmm. right? Probably even helped get that off of the ground. But there's his contributions to PETA, Charity Water, which I believe was part of the impetus or the inspiration behind Just Water with Jaden Smith.
It was a really cool
way of buying something that you needed while also gifting something, you know, that is so necessary.
Absolutely. 2011, the earthquake and tsunami in Japan, Bieber donated proceeds from his concerts in Japan to the Japanese Red Cross. I mean, directly involved with numerous charities and organizations as we found ourselves, you know, in the middle of this mm-hmm. global pandemic, helping to aid people in need during COVID-19. So just having or just realizing, you know, that he was not only involved in those relief efforts, but so much through the years without the need necessarily to broadcast, which again is not necessarily a bad thing. It's not, you know, the good work is good work, whether people know about it or not. So I'll never knock that. But there's something to be said for when people just do the work and let that speak for itself. If somebody wants to talk about what they receive, so be it. But that's not what you're doing it for. So it's good to see him give back because he's had such an amazing platform and been blessed with so much. So him sharing that is
powerful,
really important.
Because it then becomes the inspiration for other people, maybe even with less. You know, it helps normalize the reality that we're all in this really only together and that it's up to us to help
exactly
each other out.
Amen. Amen. Y'all, we are winding down this week on The Vault, but we can't talk about Justin Bieber without talking a bit about some of the controversy that surrounded him in the past. You know, you mentioned earlier, Scott, that he had his rough chapter, you know, a few hiccups where, you know, he had some brushes with mm-hmm. trouble and some growing pains, you know, as we all have had. We know he made a series of mistakes starting in 2012 that led to his arrest in 2014. Justin actually opened up about his actions and the steps that he took to make amends in this 2015 interview with us. Check this out.
It actually was my life. Like, it wasn't really like, it wasn't like, oh, they think I'm this. It was like, that's what I was doing. And I was really in a weird place. And it was honestly because I was in the industry so young, and you have so many people that you lean on and trust as a young person. And coming into the industry, you think, like,
I just didn't have my guard up. So I got my heart broken a bunch of times, and then...
By friends or...?
By friends, people in the industry. So then after a while, I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to open up to people anymore. I'm just going to be guarded and just like... So I was really about myself for a while. And then it just got to a point where I was looking in the mirror. I was so unhappy. I was so lonely. Felt so alone. And it was because I was so closed off to everyone, even my friends. I was just like, I can't trust anybody. So I started just acting out, just doing whatever I wanted to do and feeling like I was invincible.
Self-destructing a little bit?
Just, yeah, feeling like I was invincible.
So how do you get that back together? How do you get that, how do you stop that?
So something clicked. Something, I don't know, one morning something clicked and I was like, yo, this is not me. And there's something that I have to do to like, so I reached out to some people I really know care about me and who happen to be in the church. And they brought me in. I stayed with their family for a couple months and literally just did regular stuff. Hung out with their family, ate dinner with them. Yeah, it was really special.
It's not your last screw up, whatever it was, you know?
No.
I mean, you're 21 years old.
I'm going to keep messing up.
So what's, yeah, so what's the, you know, what's the outlook from, you forgive yourself
just,
and?
Yeah, of course. But you have to just like, give it all you got. If you're not giving it all you got, you're just cheating yourself. But if you give it all you got and you mess up, that's life, dude. Things are going to happen that are unexpected.
I really loved hearing him talk about not just that journey and growing up. One, he was a superstar at 15, 16 years old. Think about all the dumb stuff you've done, the dumb stuff I've done in high school, college, and beyond. And on the smallest of scales in comparison, when you have, like we mentioned, so much access to so much stuff and so many yes men, it's easy for a grown man to mess up. I'm talking like middle age, old, whatever. So to be 15 and not know anything about anything really yet, because you're 15 and suddenly have so much at your fingertips, it kind of makes a lot of sense, not to excuse it, but it isn't surprising to think that he went through that, but it is good to hear him own up to those mistakes. There were certainly mistakes, and to hear him feeling remorse for them, because that's it. The biggest thing is learning those lessons. It's interesting to hear him talk about finding his spirituality too now, right? Because in that interview, it's from the chapter where he is sort of evolving into the Justin that we pretty much know now. Talks about finding his church friends. That's where my other Justin story comes in. I ended up sitting next to him at church and I was like, who is this dude singing all the songs, adding all these little runs?
You're going to get enough of not recognizing Justin Bieber, okay? It happened in the lobby.
It was just
now
at first.
At church. Listen.
I was, one of my friends at ABC, I sat down. And I was like, this dude next to me can blow. Like, he is singing. And he was just like, praise the Lord. And I was just like, who's this dude singing like that? Just because he was going in. He was like, right, giving a little concert. But just to himself, he was really in the zone and he was just praising, worshiping.
So now my question is, once you realized it was him, were you like, boy, you done really grown up. You remember me from the lobby in Atlanta?
Dude, look at you.
Huh? Sing that song you sang to me that one time. Come on, 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 come on.
Give me that little song. Did you? But I was like, oh, snap, that's Bieber. Because the voice started sounding familiar, honestly. Right. The more he sang, I was like, okay, something about this dude is this. But no, but it's been great to see his evolution spiritually.
That has been the
and
thing.
And obviously, that's a big part of, him and Haley's connection, right? They got married in September of 2018. They've been public about the fact they were, like, waiting, right?
I feel
were
like,
they doing the abstinence I feel
like,
thing?
I feel like what they what they were without knowing too much of their personal commitment in their agreement to get married, right? Or in their understanding to get married, I do believe that they were both very open about wanting to do it right and wanting to and not necessarily right by like the Bible or right by an American standard or, you know, but like right by them. They wanted to do this in a way that was respectful to what they both wanted to achieve as a couple, right? In a marriage.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was really, I remember feeling like they are way too young. They are too young. Mm. They're too young and popping for this. And what so far, and I don't want to say so far like I'm waiting for them to fail, because I'm certainly not. I am actually rooting for them. Seeing them together is a different thing than seeing them on Instagram but it's also kind of the same thing. They are so loving and kind and patient with one another that it is kind of like a I don't want to say it's like an inspiration, but it is something that's like, wow, that's, they have found that thing, you know, that I think a lot of young people in particular search for. They found it.
Yeah. And I think when you know, you know, and they're clearly committed to living a certain lifestyle, one that I respect, and they're both particularly together. I agree with you, feel very well adjusted and down to earth. Haley is literally the sweetest human ever. Every time that I've interacted with her, I'm just like, good God, she's just so nice. She's just kind. And I think she adds a really great balance to him. And that is commentary just from the public perspective of kind of how they present themselves as a unit to the world. And it's interesting that you say, you know, you thought, oh, they're too young. When I think about some of my friends, I did think that for some friends.
Midwest, friends we do it all the time.
Early. Some of them. Yeah, so in the Midwest, you ain't even got to believe in God. You just bored. You ain't got nothing to do. You like, might as well just put a ring on something and get married. But I had, and just do it. But I had friends who also decided to get married early because of their Christian upbringing. We were all raised the same. And I do think at a certain point, if you've decided, I want a lifetime partnership, I want monogamy, I want to build commitment, and I want those roots to run deeply, then at a certain point, when you find that person, you just do it. And so it's interesting because juxtaposed against Hollywood, really Hollyweird, it makes Haley and Justin's lifestyle choice seem odd or different when really they're saying, no, I see what I have in front of me. I want to commit to it forever. And nothing about that should be strange or off-putting to anyone else. And really, they're late 20s. You know, I had a lot of friends who got married in their mid to late 20s. So I'm certainly rooting for them and wishing them the best. I'm happy to see them happy.
It's and I said they found that thing. And I, you know, you and I have had this conversation about being more intentional about what you say and trying your best to mean what you say. I don't mean that they found that thing. They're building that thing. They found each other and decided, let's build this thing together. And it is really neat, I think, to see two young people in particular say, yeah, let's do this. Now, granted, they're rich and famous. So it definitely don't, you know, it definitely is easier to build on some things when you got some things already. You know what I'm saying? But it is, I do root for Justin. You know, he's got this, depending on when you're listening to this, he's got an album due out. You know, there's a new album. There's new music. I'm interested to see where he is with that, where his head is musically.
Musically.
Yeah, because he definitely is one that puts it in the music. That puts it in the music. Mm-hmm. So, listen, it's crazy to think it's only been a little over 10 years since our introduction to Justin Bieber. I mean, for Zuri Hall, it was, you know, maybe more like
10 and a half,
maybe closer to 11, 12 years.
Y'all wasn't on that new Biebs back when I was on that new Biebs.
But she had Bieber fever before we even knew what it was.
Okay, what we're not going to do is make Zuri, I didn't have anybody's fever. Not that that's a bad thing. I just met the at the time
then
boy.
Then she stalked him at church. Listen, it was the Lord's house. Thank y'all so much for joining us this episode of The Vault by Access Hollywood. I'm Scott Evans.
And I'm Zuri Hall.
Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Google, Amazon, anywhere you listen to podcasts. We're there. And we'll see you on the next one. The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.